It's fact, I'm the greatest threat. Here to take your breath. It's already game set. My whole business is dealing death. Mandalorian monster. Only battling if I got a sponsor. I never settle for less, cause I'm the best of the best. And you the master chief of imposters. I'm loaded and I'm coming. I'll shoot you, you better stay low. By the time this battle's finished, I'll give you a real halo. I'm known throughout the galaxy. No mission I won't carry through. It's nothing personal, but if that price is right, I'll bear.
All right, here we go. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Mando Files. I'm Jacob.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Elizabeth.
I'm Logan.
Is this the X-Wing Files?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, this was supposed to be the one that didn't have technical difficulties, right?
Oh, no, we
Maybe
do.
Maybe it's me. Maybe I cursed the podcast.
I think it's our last name.
Definitely.
We all four have the same last name. Well, I guess this week we're going to talk about episode 4 of The Mandalorian. I believe it's called
last name, The Mandalorian.
The Sanctuary.
It should have been called This AT-ST is Scary AF.
Yeah, I want to know, like, who decided to put, like, under cabinet lights in the cockpit to make it red and stuff.
Yeah.
I was thinking it's like a
Like a disco ball?
Yeah, like a disco ball.
Like, are there Ewoks in there having a party?
It's night vision.
Oh, like infrared?
Because we've never seen one at night.
That's true.
Yeah, we have.
No, we have not.
Yes, we have.
Tell me when.
That one time when it was nighttime.
Oh my!
That one time in the Mandalorian last week when it was nighttime.
I remember an AT-AT walking through the forest of Endor, walking to the platform. But that's
only
nighttime.
I swear I've seen one before at nighttime.
Well, if it was like an infrared vision, wouldn't they have used it on Hoth?
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't have the technology.
Might not see the red during the day.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Well, I guess we're getting right into it then. The end of the episode.
Yay, I made a point.
Well, actually, before we start talking, I'd like to get... because Logan hasn't been on since we did our episode, the very first Mando Files episode. I'd like to get your take on the first 3 episodes.
It's okay.
Whatever.
I think it's somewhat impressive. Not nearly as impressive as a lot of people seem to think it is. It's very, very small scale, which is nice considering almost everything else we get from Star Wars, even the TV shows wound up being larger scale than we thought. Like, even now, Resistance is becoming much larger scale. Like, oh, wait, no, this is actually important. So, like, this is not, you know, that at this point, it's not mythology heavy. It's just about what we're seeing.
Yeah.
And I think it's just fine. Like, I don't think we've nothing outside of like, oh shoot, one of Yoda's species. Nothing else has floored me. I think it looks great, but like, I don't know. Nothing else has just had me.
Well, it's a lot of stuff we've really seen in Clone Wars, kind of, with the Mando stuff.
Yeah.
The scene where all the Mandalorians come to help him, like,
yeah,
we've seen that before, you know, in the Clone Wars. Not that it's... We've never
we
seen
saw
it live
John
action.
Wick, too, by the way.
There were Mandalorians and John Wick?
Might as well have been. John Wick was like, send the Mandalorian.
Yeah, you're right. Like, there is a very, like, almost note-for-note scene in not the last season of the Clone Wars, but the season before that, right?
Uh-huh.
Where a bunch of Mandalorians just show up and start fighting.
And I believe it was Death Watch, but still, like, it's...
Well, yeah. It's the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And the scenes where... Well, we'll talk about that this episode later, but I'm going to add Tim to the call. He's available at the moment. So what was, like, your favorite scene or favorite part or favorite whatever?
Show so far?
Yeah.
I just thought so Yoda ate the frog.
Yoda ate the frog was funny. Baby Yoda. We need to give him a name.
Yodeling is what we've been calling.
Yeah, Yodeling. Okay.
He's yodeling.
Yodeling.
That's funny.
Yodeling.
Yodeling.
Oh boy. There weren't our two viewers. I mean, listeners. Hey, Tim. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, what's going on?
We have the whole Polk family on, so.
Everybody's here. I gotta go.
Yeah.
Peace out, brother.
All right. Well, it was good having you on.
We were just talking about, since Logan hasn't been on since it aired, we were talking about some of his favorite scenes and stuff. If you want to answer.
I love the action stuff in the second and third episode. I thought all that stuff was great. I'm a little miffed at the flamethrower stuff because it's such a cool thing, and every time he tries to use it, it just doesn't work.
So yeah, watching it today, I realized that he's used it, I think, 4 times now, and he's only actually killed one person with it, and it was a stormtrooper.
Which almost doesn't count.
Yeah.
So, now my favorite thing so far is Werner Herzog.
Really?
Yes. I love him. And also, he is the reason why we have puppet Baby Yoda, yodeling, whatever, instead of digital yodeling. Because he was like, no, use a puppet.
Who?
Werner Herzog, the Imperial dude that took the bounty out to begin with.
Yeah.
Oh.
The one on, I guess, Tatooine? I don't know. We never got confirmation where he was, right?
Well, I don't think it's Tatooine, but yeah, there have not been any planets named.
Which I also don't like because...
I don't...
Well, really only the prequels did that, right?
Rogue One does it.
Yeah.
But they at least talk about the planets. This is the first episode that he's said the planet's name. And yeah. It's... slipping my mind right now, but I think it starts with an S. But yeah, so like every movie they talk about the planet they're on, which is kind of suspicious in my opinion, that nobody's mentioned any planets. I don't know what that would do, you know, for the plot of anything, but you know, it's like it's almost like, well, we're not going to mention planets in case we have to go back and say, oh, yeah, he was on Tatooine. Or something. You know, I don't know. Who knows?
So,
well, it's definitely not Tatooine. It's far too wet.
That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
So, to go back to the AT-ST at nighttime.
What? We're not talking about the episode yet.
I know, but I just wanted to go back to it real quick.
We will.
But I googled it, and that is the only one at nighttime.
Okay.
So Ryan was right.
Yeah.
Like okay. I said, I made a point. Can somebody please write it down?
Well, I interrupted everyone to let them know you were right.
All right.
Okay, carry on.
He appreciates it because it doesn't happen often.
Yeah, it doesn't happen very often at all.
I guess we can move on to. Oh, well,
except that one scene? Time I said, wait, I don't want to spoil Mr. Robot. Never mind.
Is there a scene that you didn't like? Like one that you just like, yeah.
I have nothing I can think of. I didn't like the semi-romance stuff with him and her in this episode.
That's what I was just
saying. It's been my least favorite thing in the show so far. I was like, okay. Whatever. But what? I'm also what? Very cynical and...
Yeah.
You know, so.
Huh? Yeah. Well,
I didn't like it either. It was like too rushed. Like we didn't get.
Yeah, you met her yesterday.
We didn't get a time span.
They ate soup together.
I get that. I'll say this. Star Wars in general is very, very bad about conveying length of time because, like. Things happen, and I'm like, oh, it's been 2 days. And then at some point, somebody's like, no, it's been like several weeks or months or years.
It's been 6 years.
Yeah, here's how we illustrate that. And I'm like, did not come off that way at all. Like, her pregnancy in episode 3. I'm like, she was pregnant for like 2 weeks. What happened?
Yeah. I guess we can just kind of get right into it. What did you guys... Elizabeth, what did you think of this episode?
I don't want to go first, because I feel like y'all are all going to be mad at me.
Tim, what did you think of this episode?
Are you going to tell us you didn't watch it?
I enjoyed it. It brought up some, you know, some sides of this Mandalorian that, you know, I think he doesn't truly fit the mold of being a Mandalorian is you know, zero emotion whatsoever. You know, he's definitely got something tugging at his heartstring from a long time ago, the Purge, right?
Yeah.
You know, we find out that he was in some way orphaned, and the Mandalorians took him in, and he has taken up their way of life, but you know, he doesn't follow it true to the letter. So I think we're going to see more variation in that. You know, he's fallen in love with this yodeling. You know, he's tempted by this woman on this faraway planet. You know, and he's struggling with that. You know, am I Mandalorian or am I not? You know, meeting up with Gina Carano, I think how you say her name. You know, she's a pretty cool character in this. We haven't seen the last of her, so I'm excited to see where that goes. I think they'll team up for some time. Yeah, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Ryan?
Yeah, I feel the same way about like Tim. You know, he kind of shows his non-Mandalorian side with the almost letting her take his helmet off. Definitely we've seen his care of the yodeling. And now kind of teaming up with an outsider, which is not very Mandalorian-like. You just kind of see it going in even though it is called the Mandalorian, you see it kind of going in not so Mandalorian direction. But I think that's what's going to make it a good show. If it was called The Mandalorians, then that would be one thing. But this is about just the one guy.
Yeah.
So, while I did enjoy the... We came to rescue you. I also enjoyed that he's separated himself from that group, too. Yeah. Which is, you know, A, to keep them safe. and to keep the culture safe. And B, because he's not necessarily one of them. So.
Hmm. Logan?
Well, as a fairly liberal person, I'm upset with his cultural appropriation of the Mandalorian culture. That's a joke. I think it's an interesting juxtaposition of like him being brought into the Mandalorian or this version of the Mandalorian culture, which is more, I guess, based on the old school Mandalore, because almost all of the Mandalorians from the Clone Wars era are gone now, right? Like, so
yeah.
What was left was kind of what Pre Vizsla kind of left in his wake. And so that kind of just becomes their culture. Where, like, and we find out that, like, Boba Fett and Jango Fett weren't actually Mandalorian through all of that Clone Wars stuff. And they just kind of took on that and became, kind of followed in the Pre Vizsla footsteps. And we're seeing this guy go off on a different path and maybe actually fall more lockstep in line with what the Mandalorian culture in the Clone Wars got defined as. You know, not necessarily, you know, war people. Not that they couldn't fight, but just that they had reached a point where they were like, no, we're not going to fight anymore. Like, we're leaving that behind. And so I think that's really interesting. Yeah.
Satine!
Oh, Lord.
No. No Satine.
Satines!
I thought the episode was pretty good. I really liked seeing that walker. I thought that was hands down the most impressive visual effect that they've done on the show so far. Like, because even some of the yodeling stuff has been a little...
Especially when he picks him up and sets him somewhere.
Oh,
it just looks like a doll.
Yeah.
Which,
it's,
I mean...
It's fine. It's fine. Yeah.
It's yeah. Like, well, that's the original Yoda. Like, well, not... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, the style.
Hey, did you guys know this is the first time we've seen an AT-ST at night?
Thanks.
Are you sure about that?
Whatever.
Elizabeth, check my facts.
Elizabeth becomes the secretary of the podcast.
That was kind of sexist.
It was.
I'm just kidding. You want to go now, Elizabeth, or do you want me to go?
You can go.
Oh,
Elizabeth hated the episode, guys.
I think she hasn't finished it yet. That's why she's stalling. I liked it. I thought it was a little slow in the middle. But I really like the way he meets Cara Dune. Also, that's the name of my wife, so that's pretty cool.
Your wife's last name is Dune?
No, but her middle name is. I thought it was pretty cool how she pretty much was punching him in the face, even though she was punching his helmet.
She's great.
Yeah. So I really liked her. The AT-ST, like when they were in the woods searching for it, and he's like, something big went that way. I was like, didn't know what it would be, and I was kind of thinking it would be something else, like a big monster they had or something. And obviously it turned out to be the coolest AT-ST we've ever seen.
My first thought was that thing that Luke bought in Return of the Jedi.
Rancor?
Yeah, Rancor.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
But didn't they flash the AT-ST in the opening? With the orcs?
They did look like orcs.
I thought there was a flash of an AT-ST, because I wasn't all that surprised when when they found it?
Well, oh, that's a good question. I've only watched it twice. I didn't see it, but I could definitely. Well, the first time I watched it, I wasn't paying attention to what the blasters sounded like. But the second time I watched it, you could definitely tell it. And they kind of try to hide it, but then the last few shots, it sounds like the AT-ST. But I thought, well, I guess we can go like different scenes. I thought it was a pretty good episode. I liked when the yodeling at the very beginning, when he's pressing the button and he's just like looking at him. He's like, oh, I'm going to press this again.
Yeah, everybody with kids is funny. Just like, yes, that's exactly how that happens. You're like, stop touching it.
It wasn't my favorite episode. I think the Jawa episode will always be my favorite episode.
Thank you.
With you there. Like, there's just too much in that Jawa episode for it not to be my favorite episode. Like,
yeah, it's so good. And
like, it's so great that, like, and I'm not kissing Tim's butt here, but it's so great that, like, for so long, the Jawas are just like, oh, they're just these, like, junk dealers and kind of seen as, like, lesser characters until, like, this badass Mandalorian has to try to take them on. And it's just like, oh, no, you do not F with the Jawas.
Yeah. And they get
vicious, man.
They best it's him. Like, yeah.
There's a game where the Ewoks, you got to fight the Ewoks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're just coming at you from.
Yeah, you're on Endor in the middle of the night, and the Ewoks are just hunting you down. Yeah. Playing as a stormtrooper. It's just like, yeah, all these people that talk about how stupid Ewoks are, like, you know, ain't stupid when they're trying to eat your face off, are they?
The second you hear that, you know you're done.
It's like, oh, God, I'm going to die.
I still think they're stupid.
Oh, we should have, like, celebrity death match, like Ewok versus
Jawa.
Jawa
versus Ewoks?
That'd be awesome.
I mean, but where are they fighting?
In a rink.
Oh, okay. That might be a little tough. Is it just one-on-one?
Yeah.
Like a Jawa versus a Ewok?
No, yeah. I think it should be like, you know.
It could be a tag team.
It could be a tag team. So like a clan of
five Ewoks versus five Jawas.
They just start dropping from the raptors and stuff. Just like.
No holds barred cage match.
See, I think the Jawas would try to get too technical and. I mean, they might win out at the end, but only because the Ewoks, like Ryan said, would just be, like, all over the place. So, and, you know, if the Jawas can get a hold of some tech, they definitely have the advantage. But, like, if you put them in the forest, Ewoks all the way. I mean, Ewoks destroyed the Empire in the forest.
That's true.
You put them in the sand,
Jawas. Oh, the Jawas win. If you put them in the desert, the Jawas win. because the Ewoks are little teddy bears. They will last 10 minutes. It'd be so hot.
Burst into like, flames.
I can't breathe.
It's so hot. Okay, so at the beginning, you don't see the AT-ST?
You do see the blaster
you
fire.
You do see the blaster fire, and you do see the orc characters not carrying blasters. Now, as far as the red eyes, it could be that they have commandeered this AT-ST and modified it.
I definitely took it as that they got that, like, it's left over from the Empire.
Right, and they modified it to,
Yeah, so he made several points saying that it's like a backwater world. No, nobody's going to find him there. And then you have this Imperial tech. He calls it a mech. I think that's the first time anybody's called them mechs in a live action. But I thought it was kind of weird. I was thinking maybe the Imperials gave it to them, but then you kind of look at it at the end, and it does look kind of like Not necessarily beat like up, but...
I mean, imagine if the Ewoks took a... Or even better, imagine if the Jawas captured an AT-ST.
Oh, my God.
And modified it. I mean...
Yeah, that'd be crazy.
We still haven't heard what Elizabeth thinks about this episode.
Oh, yeah, that's true. We've been leaving her out.
Are you done yet, Elizabeth?
I hope she says, I got nothing.
I didn't like it.
You really didn't like it?
Mm-mm.
Oh.
Was it the love scenes?
Yep.
They were so short, though.
My sister in the cynical. Like, down with love.
So, there... I didn't really think he was, like, flirting with her or anything. I think she was kind of flirting with him, but...
He definitely was. He was going to let her take off his helmet, and then he was like, oh, just kidding. That's what guys do. They play you.
So you're talking about the village lady. The villager.
Don't touch my helmet.
Yeah, the other girl is totally a lesbian. Come on, guys.
So I kind of got reminiscent of the what was that, Kevin Costner, the postman?
Yeah.
Hello. You know, with the village having kind of a small gene pool, like any capable guy coming into this village is gonna.
Oh yeah.
You know,
like it's somebody that I'm not related to.
Yeah. She's like, it's either you or an orc, you know.
Oh boy.
You should get on board with that. You watch way too much Game of Thrones to not be on board with that.
No, I didn't.
Like any dude that shows up, they're like, "Oh, what a big fat bearded dude!" Like, yeah, as long as he can take me away from
him. I did not think that's where you were going with that sentence.
I can't think of his name in Game of Thrones.
The king?
No, the guy that took the girl and her kid away from that village. Where the king kept raping and impregnating all the women.
He's talking about Sam Tarwell.
How did we get to Game of Turds?
I don't know.
Game of Turds.
I
was going to say something and Ron went off on a Game of Thrones tangent, and I forgot what I was going to say.
Anyway, back to asking me about the...
Right, so, like, other than the love story, like, was that it? That's what you didn't like?
It was so predictable, I guess, and I was just like kind of bored with the whole thing.
Is it because you've seen The Magnificent Seven, so you knew what was going
to happen? Since Game of Thrones.
Seen The Clone Wars?
Yeah.
Well, if you guys would let me talk, then you could know what I like. Think
we'll
about
talk.
No, we will. Y'all tell keep what interrupting you think about me. The episode.
I mean, you can if you want to. I'll just be quiet.
I'm kidding. I'm sorry. Yeah.
I don't know. Basically, I just didn't like the love story crap. I'm over it. Like, I called that at the beginning of the day, before the show even came out. First off, I have resentment towards the character, the girl, because she was in Twilight. And I hated her in Twilight. So... I feel like she's carrying over into this. No, I don't have to. And then I don't know. I thought it was clever how they hit her and her daughter hid from the dog face people, whatever they are. And then that was pretty much the only thing I liked about that. And then, of course, the Baby Yoda and the frog. That's pretty much the only thing I liked about this episode.
You know,
I thought
Walker.
I knew what it was. I knew. I'm surprised.
It was
that
still
you guys
cool.
Didn't.
I'm not talking about being surprised, but we've not got to see one in like that kind of space before, or at night. Don't you know that?
I mean, I guess, but like. It just wasn't that cool to me. I don't know. I feel like they could just do so much with this show, and they're not.
And I think I've just always been in love with the walkers, so I'm just like, like when speeder bikes show up, I'm like, oh my god, speeder bikes.
But it's just slightly disappointing to me, like, the direction it's going. I feel like this episode was kind of a filler episode. Like,
you know, your fellow Ginger directed this episode, right?
Yeah, Bryce Dallas Howard.
I mean, well, he is...
She.
Ron Howard.
She was also in Twilight. Okay, so that makes sense.
Even more reason for you to hate this episode.
Even more reason. I didn't even know why I didn't like this episode, but there you go. You pointed it out for me.
She's the main reason I haven't made it through a single Jurassic Park since part 3.
I've got some good news for you, Elizabeth.
What? I was about to say, please tell me it's the only one she directed.
Episode 5 will be directed by Dave Filoni. So,
good. Or it'll be a directed. Good episode. I just, there's something about it that it was just so basic. And, I don't know.
Bryce Dallas Howard. She's pretty basic.
All right. Did anyone else?
I can't stand her.
So we were talking about how, Logan, we've talked about how the characters on this show, we've only met like really two main characters, or characters that we think are going to be part of his career or whatever, and that's Grief, is it Grief? Yeah, Grief Karga, yeah. And then IG-11.
Yeah.
And then maybe, God dang it, what's his name? Quill?
Which one's that?
The Nick Nolte character.
Is
his name Quill?
Something like that.
So, we were wondering when we were going to see Gino Carano's character. Did anyone think the opening of this was like a flashback to her childhood? And like the little girl might have been her?
Oh.
Because I was waiting for... So when we see the blaster fire, I was waiting for it to be the Trade Federation or the Separatists. And then it just turns out to be real time or present time or whatever. Did anyone else think that?
I mean, no, I didn't think that.
Yeah. I could totally see it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
I was like, well, here goes another flashback. But obviously it didn't turn out that way.
Yeah.
So,
but my question is, how did he think he was going to be able to leave Baby Yoda there? Like, knowing people are hunting him, why did he think that was going to be okay?
Yeah, I didn't understand. Okay, so we have this tracking fob thing, and I really don't get the technology on that yet. I guess. I mean, I kind of get it, but it doesn't make sense how he thinks he can go somewhere and not be tracked.
But remember, too, that there is no puck for that tracking fob, and there is only half of the code available. So the only reason he was able to find him originally is because they gave him the last known coordinates.
Yeah.
So, you know, it would just be, you know, people would be searching all the wrong numbers. Now, how that assassin made it to be on this planet, was he tracking the Mandalorian's code, or was he tracking the yodeling? Because he focused on the Mandalorian first.
Yeah, first.
I assumed he was tracking the Mandalorian.
I assumed he was tracking the yodeling, because when the Mandalorian got close to the tracker thing, it didn't go off like it did with the baby. It didn't get faster. So.
Oh, yeah, that's kind of true.
It just stayed the same beeping. So, but they know. No,
the fob, yeah. But I assumed he was tracking the Mandalorian.
But, yeah, because they know that the Mandalorian has the baby. So, of course, he would take out the Mandalorian before the baby. Or try to, anyway.
Well, that's what I thought was interesting. He was gonna shoot him until he didn't take his helmet off.
Yeah.
So do you think this is a person that might be on his side?
Well, he's dead now, so. Oh, yeah. Or she.
I said that wrong. Not his side. With the Mandalorians. And that's why whoever it was is going to shoot him if he was going to take his helmet off. Or is it because he didn't take his helmet off? Like, oh, well, I can't shoot through the helmet, so now I'll kill the kid.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt, because that
does make sense. That. Yeah, it does make, like, because they're not supposed to remove their helmets.
Right.
But I don't know.
Yeah, but his armor is also nice and new and shiny.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's like,
first thing you do, buy new clothes.
Yeah, but you could, like, if he was a really good shot, he could just shoot his arm or leg or, like, somewhere in between the armor.
Yeah. So, yeah, just injure him.
Kill him, then you risk
being killed.
Yeah.
I mean, but he got killed anyway, so.
Well, yeah.
Much like Kelly Clarkson, what doesn't kill him makes him stronger.
Oh, my God.
Ah, Kelly Clarkson. So, I thought it was interesting. That's the second time they used the, oh, no, they killed Yoda. Oh, wait, someone else killed the guy that was going to kill Yoda.
Yeah.
I don't know what you would call that, switcheroo, I don't know.
But I kind of thought, because freaking Ryan planted it in my head, now that every episode I'm like, oh, God, Baby Yoda's going to die.
No, I really, like, did think that was going
to
happen.
Yeah, I was about to be done. Like, I'm over the show.
I'm over it. They killed
Baby just sitting Yoda. Here like,
yeah. There's absolutely no way they're killing this Baby Yoda.
I'm sitting here like Dr. Evil.
Not
like,
yet.
I mean, you don't know.
When will he die?
So, have y'all talked at all about how after Disney bought Lucasfilm, it very much seemed like we're never going to address anything that ever happened in the prequels. Ever. And then now, with The Mandalorian and from a lot of what we're seeing for Rise of Skywalker, it very much seems like some of the stuff in the prequels is coming back in a big bad way. Specifically, midichlorians.
Well, they haven't actually mentioned midichlorians.
I mean, think that that's what they were trying to get from the that's yodeling.
Definitely what they were. I would bet good money that that's what they were doing.
I mean, exactly, it makes sense.
I was like, that's what they're trying to get is the midichlorians.
Mm-hmm. It makes sense because of what.
And they're trying to get them so they can bring back the Emperor.
Oh, my God. If this is how they bring back the Emperor in Rise of Skywalker, everybody's gonna lose their minds.
Yeah, that's what I said, like, but, the first episode.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that's what Jacob said.
Thanks for listening, Logan. God.
But if I'm the people, busy.
He's
the
a
people,
bad fan.
I feel like they're not gonna do that though.
Sorry, Elizabeth.
I feel like they're not gonna do that though, because not everybody is watching this show, so they're not going to know what's
happening. Well, I mean, they brought back
Darth Maul. That's completely false, first of all. It's the most streamed show. What?
I know lots of people that are going to see Star Wars that are not watching The Mandalorian.
Okay, and I also know lots of people that went to see Rogue One and were completely confused by the fact that none of the characters from the last Star Wars movie were in it. So,
what?
People, like, you can't expect the public to completely follow stuff like that, but you can reward fans that do follow stuff like that. You know, just like, I know plenty of people that saw Endgame who did not see any of the Thor movies or maybe any of the Captain America movies.
There's one on this podcast.
So,
not me.
So if they do use it in The Rise of Skywalker, I mean, they're going to explain it. You're not going to know everything behind it, but there, it's going to have to be explained.
Yeah.
But then it'll... That's the thing, though. Like, it's going to kind of ruin the Mandalorian. Like...
Yeah.
For, I mean, for all we know right now, if baby the Yodeling has to do with the Emperor coming back, because there's an episode the day after it comes out, and then there's another one the next week. So it's like... So what, we get two more episodes before Rise of Skywalker comes out?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like... obviously, they have all this figured out, but it's just hard to say that...
It's just fun honestly, to theorize. That's all I was just throwing it out there.
Yeah, honestly, I think it absolutely has something to do with the Emperor, or... I mean... The Emperor has known Yoda for how long? Ever since he's known anybody, really. And he knows how strong Yoda is in the Force. So his... And there's theories, too, that it's a clone of Yoda. Which I'm not 100% sure about.
Well, I mean, we've talked about a theory that the Emperor's cloned, too, in the next... In the Rise of Skywalker. Yeah. So...
Dude, if you... Bring him back clones, bring him back midichlorians. We've seen now references to the battle droids in this show.
Which looked awesome.
Yeah, they did. They look better in this show than they did in the prequels. it wasn't the battle droids, it was the super battle droids, right?
Yeah.
Like all of this stuff, you know, we know the Obi-Wan series is coming, which. And we've got more Clone Wars coming, which is prequel era. I know that those movies aren't great, but it's really, really nice that they're kind of leaning into that, being like, yeah, it definitely matters. So, yeah.
I mean, the stories are great and everything. The pretty much the acting just sucks.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily the acting, but the direction for the actors. But
no, Hayden Christensen's terrible.
I mean, it'd be cool to meet him, though.
There is very, very like strong rumors that you're going to see him.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see.
When they started training. The town folk, or whatever you village, the villagers.
Three amigos.
yeah. Well, we talked about that. We said that the very first episode reminded us of the Three Amigos, the end of the Three Amigos.
Yeah. When...
what is this? Amigos falling from the sky?
But, it reminded me of the Clone Wars when they go to train. Yes. Saul Guerrera and his sister,
yep,
and there.
Very
and
much.
I don't know. I really liked it. Of course, I like all the episodes. The only part I haven't liked, Logan, was when in the first episode he's trying to ride the. I forgot what they're called now. The animal that he has to ride to get to the place.
You didn't like that?
Yeah.
It looked off, but also if you go back and watch episode
two, yeah,
when Anakin tries to do something very similar, it looks just as bad.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of. I was like, ew.
I was like, oh yeah, look, they still can't get that effect down. It's been 20 years.
At least he wasn't standing on his back.
Yeah.
True.
Hey, y'all, I'm going to have to jump off here.
Okay. All right, good to talk to you, Tim.
Thanks for joining us.
Nice talk to you. Yeah, we'll talk to you later on.
All right, man.
All right, bye.
I'm glad he joined.
Yeah, me too. I love him. He's the best.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
That dude does more, he's probably done more for, like, humanity in the last 2 months than I've done in my entire life. Every time I see him, he's doing something, like, to give back or to, like, you know, further environmental causes, or, like, donate time at, like, animal shelters. And I'm just like, yeah, you just make me feel like I'm a worthless person.
That's what you do when you live in California.
Yeah, I guess.
So I think it was last week he said that he's going to EmpireCon. Yeah. And we're going to try to do like a live session, I guess, with him.
Oh, that's cool.
And he's going to be walking around on the floor and stuff. And he's going to try to talk to people. And yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we're going to try it. And I don't know how well it'll work, but.
Probably the fewer people on that podcast, the better.
Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be really cool. Because I think he said he's going to do it. He's going to try to do it on Friday. He'll be there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but he's not going to be on the floor, I guess, until Sunday. So,
okay. Cool.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be exciting. I think that's on the 6th of December is when he said it was. But, which is, next week.
Next week. Dang, did Elizabeth hang up?
No,
I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Nope, she hasn't quit yet.
Even though y'all are being doo-doo heads.
So,
I'll talk to you later.
So, you know, like, I want to get your take on this, maybe, Logan. Ryan was talking about, I think it was one of y'all said, it's not called The Mandalorians, it's just called The Mandalorian. So, it's because it seems from the third episode that they only kind of go out, like, one at a time, or they're only want to be seen like one Mandalorian at a time, you know? To hide their numbers, yeah. So I'm wondering, I mean,
you think next season we'll get a different Mandalorian?
No. But I think we're going to get a lot more Mandalorians. I think they're going to wind up fighting the Empire.
What's left of it?
Or what's left of it, yeah. But,
head scratching emoji.
Anybody have anything else interesting to say about this episode?
No, just I in general, am appreciating Lucasfilm, J.J. Abrams, Dave Filoni, and Jon Favreau's efforts to silence the quote-unquote fans about the prequel stuff, hopefully once and for all. And JJ's been making great effort to shut people up when they start talking, or start trying to downplay Rian Johnson's contributions with The Last Jedi.
Yeah. So,
yeah, by blocking people that say Raylo.
Well, that's Pablo Hidalgo.
Yeah, it's still hilarious.
Before I forget, what did you guys think of the soup scene where he's like, "You want to get some soup?" or whatever he says, "You want some soup?"
I laughed.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a good giggle out of it.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was cute. I think they're going to hook up.
No.
I don't think that the villager thing, it's very much her kind of like, well, you saved us, so.
Not to me.
You're hot.
Well, the villager thing was very much a throwback to Clone Wars. To me, I mean, from the minute it started going on, I was like, this is like a straight ripoff of a Clone Wars episode.
Okay, well, here's the thing. So, I'm not crapping on Dave Filoni takes influence from, because it's also what George Lucas took influence from. Lucas was a big Akira Kurosawa fan. So much so that, like, stuff is straight up lifted.
Yeah, Seven Samurai or Magnificent Seven.
Hidden Fortress was a big inspiration for Star Wars. But Filoni very much likes Seven Samurai. We've seen that multiple times in the Clone Wars. So that we get an episode influenced by Seven Samurai, which is what Magnificent Seven was an American remake of. Like, doesn't surprise me at all. He's also a big fan of Lone Wolf and Cub, which is about a like rogue samurai who's protecting a child while he's on the run.
Yeah, very much.
This is exactly what the show is. which that's not Kurosawa, but that's something that Filoni's a fan of. So, like, it's... I'm with you, like, it's kind of sucky that, like, you already did this in the Clone Wars, man, and now we're doing it in this show, too. But also, like, those are the things that he got major influence
from. Well, no, it's not that I think it's sucky. It's very much, I appreciate the fact that people that don't watch or have refused to watch the Clone Wars.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm very glad that they get to see this. But I've already seen it.
Yeah.
So it's not that I think it sucks. It's just that I'm like, well, I mean, I've already seen this, you know. So I can kind of half watch it as opposed to the first couple of episodes where I'm like seriously watching it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that.
This is probably the least intense, like where I couldn't look away from the screen. Of all the episodes we've had so far.
Yeah, I mean, the most intense part is the beginning. And then when the AT-ST shows back up. And you get those red eyes. And I don't know if Jacob and Elizabeth, I don't know if y'all have seen it. But when I saw those red eyes, you know what I thought about? The Iron Giant.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, is the Iron Giant in this episode?
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty.
I just kind of started giggling to myself, like, did they just introduce the Iron Giant into...
That would be amazing.
Which I knew wasn't, you know, wasn't going to happen, but I kind of got that feeling, like, but thank God it was an AT-ST, not some giant robot that... Because that would have kind of ticked me off more than the AT-ST.
Yeah. So I thought it was weird how their whole plan was to get it to step in our pool or whatever. And then, like, you never see the drivers, and she's, like, trying to bait it. And then it was really weird how they made that. He, like, stepped up to the edge, and then it looks down a little bit. It was almost like they were trying to make the AT-ST alive.
Yeah.
Like, did anyone else get that feeling?
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll further get a further explanation of that version of the AT-ST.
Yeah.
Probably not, but maybe we will. Possibly it was a remote control. It was definitely modified. I can appreciate what you said, that we didn't get to see the inside of it, which we have seen previously.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it did kind of... To see the inside of it would have let us know that it was modified. Because if there's no stormtrooper-like character in there, then we know that it's been taken over by something like the other race, which we've also seen in the Clone Wars. We've seen several episodes where the droids have been modified.
I also thought it was weird that once it did fall, he just went up and threw his little bombs inside of it. I was like, why didn't he just, like, hide behind the tree, wait for it to pass, and then throw, like, you know what I mean? I thought that was kind of weird. I mean, I guess it might not have blew it up like it did.
Man, Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yeah, but at least I feel like the force of the explosion would knock it over on its side. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought that was a little awkward. It was kind of funny, though, seeing them run up there.
It's definitely the weaker of the It's only got two legs.
Yeah.
I thought they were going to, like, logs. Trip it.
Like, yeah, like the Ewoks did.
Yeah, that's how I was...
The logs and stuff, yeah.
That's how I was like, what are they doing?
Yeah. It was funny because she says, there's nothing on this planet that can damage the armor. And then you're like, the next scene, he's like, oh, I need you guys to chop down some trees. We're like, we just watched Ewoks take these things out. Like, well, I guess those are redwood type. But, yeah, I thought that was funny because the Ewoks used a bunch of wood.
Well, yeah, Star Wars isn't lacking in remember this type culture either. So they very much fell in line with the, hey, you guys remember this? That Star Wars tends to carry on throughout it, its history.
Which I like, honestly.
I don't hate it. I just it's kind of, you know, for some of us that have seen it 150 times, it's kind of like roll your eyes.
Like, for those, of course, like, we remember.
Yeah, for those people that have only seen it, you know, very few times, like take my sister, like Kelly, for instance. She's only seen every movie maybe once or twice. So, yeah, something might be like, oh, that's cool. I remember when it happened. But for, like, me, you, Logan, Elizabeth, like, we're like, oh, that we've seen this before.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So, I'm thinking the next episode, we're probably going to see a lot more Imperials in it.
I want to see Ming-Na win. That's who I want to see.
More than anything.
Who is she playing again? Did we ever find out?
I don't know. I didn't.
Mulan.
Oh, my God. I don't see her on the Wikipedia page. I don't know why I picked Wikipedia. It's probably all wrong. Oh, there we go. Let's see. Oh, yet to appear, Bill Burr, Mark Boone Jr. I don't know who Bill Burr or Mark.
He's a comedian, Bill Burr.
I have to probably have to Google him. I'll do it in a second. And then Ming-Na Wen and Natalie Tina. Oh, wait, she looks familiar.
Yeah, she's playing the Twi'lek, right?
Oh, yeah.
She's in Harry Potter.
Yep. Game of Thrones, too. Oh, she's the... Yeah, she's the one that helps him escape from that one guy that nobody likes. Ramsey.
Yeah.
Bill Burr. Oh, yeah, I know who that guy is. He cusses a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, Mark Boone Jr. He is, dang it, what is he playing? Oh, he's in Batman Begins. He's the, like, the crooked detective.
It's been a while since I saw Batman Begins.
He's in Son of Anarchy, too.
Never seen an episode.
I think he does something like he's gonna do something shady or something, and then Commissioner Gordon's like, I don't think so. Yeah, you'd recognize him if you saw him. So yeah, I definitely think the next episode we're gonna see some Imperial stuff.
Well, I definitely haven't been, you know, disappointed. I've been, that was okay. But,
yeah.
I don't think there's anything this show could do short of I mean, like, turning into, like, Twilight to disappoint me. And I Twilight wasn't my first thought. What's the one where they're... it's like a hunting thing where they hunt down Hunger each Games. Other. Hunger Games, yeah. Short of turning into the Hunger Games, there's not much this show can do to disappoint me.
That would be awesome. Like a Mandalorian Hunger Games.
That would be crazy.
If they were hunting down Jedi, that would be cool.
Or anything. Or each other. Oh, yeah.
It could be only one. It'd be like, what is that, Logan? Highlander. It'd be like the Highlander for Mandalorians. That's why it was called The Mandalorian.
Does anybody have any guesses or predictions what the next episode will be?
Yoda's gonna die.
He's almost died twice now. Or I guess three times, technically. That doctor saved him. So he says... What do you guys think about Pedro Pascal and his... Right now, I'm just going to say voice acting. Like, his voice.
Yeah, I wonder if he's actually in that costume.
He is.
Oh, I guarantee that.
There's no way he took this role. If they, like, there's a few people that would be like, no, I mean, I can't play a part where you don't get to see my face. But if you're a fan remotely of Star Wars and they're like, you want to play the Mandalorian? They're like, we really just need your voice. You don't have to show up and be in the costume. And you're like, I'm not taking the role if I can't show up and be in the costume.
Yeah, especially if he's fully capable of.
I'm going to be in that costume.
Like,
no, that's my helmet.
You keep your stupid money. Like, I'll take less money. Just put me in the costume.
So, the first three episodes, he really didn't talk that much. So, it didn't, like, bother
me. Yeah, it's like he didn't shut up in this episode.
Yeah, so it was kind of... So, when he's telling Yoda to stay, he's like, okay, stay here now. Don't leave. Make sure you stay here. Okay, good. And I was just like, that was... Did George write this episode?
Yeah, it comes off as, definitely George Lucas. But it also gives more humanity to him. Which makes him... It lets you realize how he's not a true Mandalorian.
Yeah, which is good because it's hard to see... A person
I think
in
he
the
does a great
armor.
Job conveying the like the humanness through the armor.
Yeah.
It could be really hard to do that.
Yeah. I thought it was really cool how we got to see kind of like from his view when he's tracking the footprints and stuff from inside his helmet.
I did like appreciate that.
I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah, when I saw it, I was like, oh, this is like our Iron Man moment.
Yeah, or it's kind of like Predator. But I thought that was pretty cool.
I hope we get more of that. I definitely do.
Yeah. Obviously, he's going to get a jetpack. That's probably season two.
I got to give me one of those.
Logan, did you think that scene at the very end of episode three... where the I forgot what they called him, the big guy, the big Mandalorian was flying next to him and he saluted him. Did you think he looked like War Machine?
Yeah, and actually that is my least favorite scene in the show so far.
It was kind of goofy.
I thought it was cool, but
it's very Rocketeer-ish, just like
I was just like, when I first saw it, I was like, oh, that's cool. But then I was like, wait, he took off. He's in a freaking ship, and this guy's got a jetpack on, and he caught up to him just to salute him. But that was the one that, like, grabbed under his helmet and tried to remove his helmet. So I mean, it was kind of like, hey, you're cool, man. We got your back, bro. So,
I don't know. That it's now officially my least favorite scene in the entire show.
That was probably my favorite scene in episode 3 was when that Mandalorian grabbed his helmet and then they kind of like slapped hands a little bit. I thought that was and then his freaking gun. I love his gun. When he started disintegrating the Jawas.
I like that we actually seen the full power of the gun.
Yeah.
I think, what was it? The first or second podcast we recorded, who was it talking about how we had never really seen that before, but we actually have. It was actually his original weapon in the original cartoon that featured.
Oh yeah, Aaron was saying that we'd never seen the.
Of our rifle.
But we never seen him. We never seen what he could do.
No, we've never seen him use it.
Yeah.
To my knowledge. If we have, it was in the Droids cartoon series.
Yeah. Which I've actually.
He has that rifle in Empire, right? It's the same rifle.
I don't remember seeing it. If it's in Empire, it's just on his back. He never uses it.
No, he doesn't have it. He just has that E-11 or E-311 blaster.
Yeah, that's what he's got.
Yeah, this one's like a rifle the size of him.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I just thought it was cool. He's like, my favorite scene in episode 2 is when he starts shooting the Jawas. And then you can see from the scope that one Jawa had no idea where he was. He was just shooting. Just randomly shooting. God. Like, it's sad because he blew up that Jawa, but it's just so funny. He's freaking out.
Yeah, that's pretty great. I can't wait till it's all said and done and I can watch as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that it comes out every week because it gives me something to look forward to. Like, Star Wars-wise?
I was about to say, oh, dang, dude.
I have a lovely wife, a kid I adore, but this gives me hope.
So, what I mean by that is, this is the first, like, TV show I've watched in probably 10 years where I have to wait to watch it and that I am waiting to watch it. You know what I mean?
Did you not watch The Clone Wars while it aired?
Not consistently.
You're not a real fan.
Well, it didn't consistently come on, so.
Yeah, Cartoon Network was kind of crappy.
I can remember watching it, and then the next week sitting down to watch it, and I was like, okay, why is freaking Dexter's Laboratory on? But
and then when Disney had it, they would just air off like giant chunks of episodes at one time. Disney, you would have an episode for like 4 months.
Yeah.
And then
I actually applaud them for doing the once a week thing.
Yeah.
Because Disney is the absolute worst. One of my favorite cartoons they air now is Big Hero 6, the series. And they will just randomly air like 10 episodes in 10 days or 20 episodes in 10 days. And I'm like, what the crap? I missed 20 whole episodes.
Yeah.
Like, you guys suck at this, man. How can kids keep up with this? No wonder. But they do have lots of series, so I guess I can understand that.
So, yeah. I mean, have you talked to Spencer about The Mandalorian?
Not much. I mean, if you really want to know what Spencer thinks,
yeah, he writes
supermassivepop.com.
Yeah. We've been plugging it for him. Not that anybody listens.
Apparently some people from China listen.
Really?
For one of our podcasts.
Oh.
Getting a lot of hits from China. I don't think they're listening, though. I think I think we might have made some people mad or something.
Oh, I can make them real mad if you want me to.
No, it's all right.
China.
Don't.
Oh, God. Is that a sick BB-8? That's what that sounded like.
Yeah, that's what.
Yeah, that was my BB-8.
What's in this show?
Went crazy.
Oh yeah. Well, yesterday I was watching The Force Awakens, and every time BB-8 came on the screen, Hudson would point at the screen and be like, "Da." It was pretty funny.
I just sent the robotic BB-8 that I got.
Yeah.
Zero BB-8.
I have the one that's like almost
double that size, triple that size.
Well, it's almost life size. So
that's awesome.
Like it's almost scale. So it's slightly smaller than scale.
I have a pizza cutter that makes BB-8 noises.
Nice.
Well, I don't have anything else.
Nope.
I'm good. Pretty much done.
Elizabeth?
I'm good.
I got nothing.
Sounds like she's half asleep.
Logan, you want to run down the places to find us?
xwingfiles.com. Email us xwingfiles@gmail.com, at the xwingfiles on the social medias. Look for xwingfiles, search for xwingfiles on Facebook. You'll find our group page and our page in our group. And then support us over at patreon.com/xwingfiles.
Yay.
xwingfiles.net.com.
And look for our new dating theme podcast, Scruffy Nerf Herders. Was that what we were calling it?
I guess.
Nerf Herders, I think.
Half-witted. Call it. Stuck up, half-witted, scruffy-looking Nerf Herder.
Who you call it?
Scruffy-looking?
Y'all should be the Nerf Herders. Can you do it from here so I can just, like, pop in the room and shoot you with a Nerf gun every once in a while?
Better heard this.
Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I guess until next week.
May the Force be with you.
That's the wrong podcast.
I
You're supposed to say Xbox, turn on. You're supposed to say we have spoken. This is the way that we have spoken.
Bye.
She has spoken. Go.